What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at thepewterplank.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at thepewterplank, at jyarko underscore bucks, and at dh82 underscore bucks. We are continuing our post-draft roundtable discussion. We were joined by Carmen Vitale on yesterday's episode, as well as Bailey Adams of thepewterplank.com. And our conversation with Bailey continues today. Hope you all enjoy. Without any further ado, we're going to jump right back into it and continue discussing the Buccaneers draft class. And poor Bailey. Poor Bailey had to sit there and listen to us discuss the greatness that was Michael Jordan, and he just doesn't know.
Who's that?
Exactly. That's the problem with you youngins today.
That's not true.
I don't trust anybody that was born after Michael Jordan's first three-peat. So, unfortunately, Bailey, you fall into that category. But let's go ahead and switch gears here. And all three of us were big Darius Geis guys, right? I mean, we were all – I mean, Bailey more so than David, you or I – but we were all pounding the table for Darius Geis. I would have taken him at 7 and been perfectly happy. But as the weekend progressed and we started to find out more and more about, you know, just how terrible things were going with Darius Geis. I mean, I know we were all kind of let down initially with the pick of, of Ronald Jones. And of course, going back and watching him a little bit and seeing what he can do. I mean, I'm real excited for the player. And I knew I would be. My dad texted me and he goes, "There's your running back." And I said, "Yeah, but it wasn't Geis." I said, "I'll be excited in a little bit, but you know, right now I'm a little disappointed." But we kept finding out more and more about all the stuff that went down with Geis. So Bailey, kind of break down your thoughts on it. I mean, you've done an amazing job over the weekend of doing these three things to know about all these draft picks. And David and I certainly appreciate it. But, I mean, what's your take on the Ronald Jones versus Darius Geis kind of not person comparison, obviously, but the player comparison? What do you think Ronald Jones is going to bring to this Buccaneers offense?
First of all, I appreciate you telling me I did a good job because that means a lot. But, I think just from the little I've seen of Ronald Jones so far, I kind of need to still do some more digging into him. But he kind of reminds me a little bit of Geis, just in that they both can bring those game breaking plays. You know, they can just break off at any time, and I think he's very explosive. And what I do think is a little bit different is he might complement Peyton Barber a little bit better. I know how you felt about Peyton Barber going into the draft if he was like our day one starter. I heard you weren't going to be very happy about that, but I'm pretty big on Peyton Barber, and I think Ronald Jones is a really good compliment to him. And, you know, you talk about taking Geis at 7 and feeling okay with that. I was, you know, I felt the same way. I will give way. I grew up as an LSU fan, so I had that little bit of a bias in there. But even once the Bucks traded down to 12, I was like, I think they could reasonably take him at 12, and I wouldn't have been surprised. And then I was really happy with the Vita Vea pick. But, you know, as time kept going on, going into day two, I was like, all right, Geis, if Geis is there for us, I think we take him. Because there was all that talk before the draft about, oh, yeah, Jason Light's been scouting a lot of LSU players. He's been high on a lot of them. We didn't see any of them taken. So right. I think with regardless of whether or not it was due to the person, Darius Geis the person, I think – like the guys at Pewter Report were saying just before the draft, they were saying that they think the Bucks might like Ronald Jones better. And clearly, whether it was for purely football reasons or if it was also like a bit of both, they like Ronald Jones better. And if he's their guy and that's who Jason Light preferred, I mean, I'm on board with it.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned Pewter Report. They were even saying on Thursday that they had heard chatter that the Bucks might be trying to maneuver to trade back into the first, and the name they were hearing connected with that was Darius Geis. So maybe as more and more of these things started to trickle around, you know, the alleged incident with the Philadelphia Eagles, and then, you know, Ian Rappaport had all of his stories about the issues with Geis and the interviews and the visits and just kind of being somewhat disastrous. And you know what? I wish nothing but the best for Geis. Hopefully, you know, if any of these things are true or somewhat true, you know, the maturity develops as he gets older and gets more acclimated and he becomes a great player. But I'm excited about Ronald Jones. I'm like, and I don't hate Peyton Barber. Okay. I like Peyton Barber, but I like Peyton Barber for what he should be. And I think with the addition of Ronald Jones, he's going to be what he should be. And that's a complementary part of a committee. I think Ronald Jones is going to be obviously your primary back. You're going to have Peyton Barber there getting his allotment of carries that he deserves, that he earned last season. I still don't understand why Charles Sims is around, but hopefully he's a camp casualty. Just kind of throw him out the door. Oh, that was so angry. And they dropped it on draft day. And I'm like, come on.
They did that on purpose.
They had to have. They wanted that to fly so under the radar. Like maybe Bucks fans won't notice if they're all worried about Derwin James and we're just like, yeah, we brought back Charles Sims on a one-year deal. But let's also talk about what you're a big fan of Carlton Davis, and I admittedly I still have not watched any Auburn games to specifically see him. I'm still kind of working my way down the list here. But You draft two corners now in Davis and MJ Stewart. You still have Grimes. You still have Vernon Hargraves. There was talk that Stewart was going to move back to safety. Sounds like they're going to try him at corner first, but he does have experience. And, of course, then they bring in Jordan Whitehead. So he lines up with Conti and Tandy and Evans in that grouping. Do you think we're now working towards keeping Vernon Hargraves in the slot permanently? I mean, that seems to be where he played the best. And I know looking back now, the kind of the 2016 draft class isn't looking so hot. It's probably the worst of Light's tenure at this point. But if they can utilize Vernon Hargraves in the slot effectively, those 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it was, or he was Pro Football Focus's top rated corner, you know, in that slot. And of course, you know, people know how I feel about Pro Football Focus, but a lot of people take their grades really seriously. They do put out some solid information. I'm just not a big fan or understand how they get the grades that they do. You know, do we see Davis and Grimes along the outside now? Cause it would make more sense to have Davis with his size and his length to be up against the Julio Joneses and the Michael Thomases and, you know, things of that nature. So kind of, what do you see from the secondary as a whole moving forward now with the addition of Stewart and Davis and Whitehead?
I'm definitely feeling like Hargraves is more, they're relying on him to hold up the slot position. After they took MJ Stewart, I was a little confused because I thought, I mean, he had position on the outside or he had experience on the outside, but they said more, he was going to play more in the slot or at safety. So with that in mind, I was thinking if they put him in the slot, are they gonna move Hargraves back outside and see how he does again? Because at the beginning of last year, he was really bad. And then they took Carlton Davis, and I was kind of like, okay, yeah, it makes more sense to see Stewart back at safety, Hargraves still in the slot, and put Davis on the outside. Because I mean, Davis he's big, he's huge, and with the receivers that the Bucks do face in the NFC South, and you know, in the rest of the league in general. I think that fits so well. What I am curious about is just how the safety position shakes out, because obviously Justin Evans has his spot, and then adding Whitehead and Stewart to the mix with Conti and Tandy already back there, you're kind of looking at a lot. You're looking at a lot of depth, and you just kind of see. I guess they're just kind of going to see who wins the spot. But overall, I think that's what we're looking at. We're looking at Hargraves back in the slot where he was having a lot more success last year before the injury.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's pretty much where everybody's going with it, is that's the direction that the Buccaneers are headed with the way they drafted and specifically the people they drafted, like you said, Carlton Davis, especially. But I'm going to I want to put you on the spot real quick, Bailey. So these guys haven't even entered rookie camp yet, right? So we don't really know how these guys are going to look with the Buccaneers yet. At this point, it's all speculation. We're all just kind of hoping that the evaluation process comes through and they found some really good players. But give me the starting secondary. If you have to make the decision right now based off of college film and what you do know, give me your starting secondary.
Okay, so obviously you have Grimes on one side. I'm going to stick with Hargraves in the slot. I think just based on his size and ability, I think Carlton Davis will start on the outside by the time the season rolls around. As far as the safety position, I'm leaning more towards Justin Evans and Chris Conte as at the start, mm-hmm. and just kind of mixing in Stewart and Whitehead and however they kind of fall in and you know, as they progress and you know, learn the scheme and everything, maybe they take over Conte's spot. Mm-hmm. But I think heading into the season, just with the veteran status of Chris Conte and you know, kind of a little bit of an unknown in the two new rookies back there, I think they will tend to rely more on Conte just because, you know, this is a do or die season for the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree completely right there. I mean, obviously, again, pre-camp, right, pre-season even, I think that looks like probably your best bet as your starting lineup, and I'm not too upset about it. So who's the sixth man, though? Like, who's so when there's a guy who's got to rotate in or rotate out or in sub package or whatever, what have you, who's the next defensive back on the field for the Bucks?
That's a good question, because, I mean, they still have Javon Elliott on the roster. They still have Ryan Smith on the roster, guys that they're trying to develop before they picked up these guys. So I really don't even know. I think I would just tend to say Javon Elliott just based on his past, and he's shown flashes of potential. And I don't feel that confident about that, honestly. I just think they're all going to be so close to each other in terms of, you know, where they are, I guess, with the scheme and where they are with playing in the NFL. So I think going in, it's someone that's been here like Javon Elliott or Ryan Smith.
Okay, fair enough. And you talk about Ryan Smith. So when they announced Jordan Whitehead as the selection, right, it's always interesting to pay attention to these things because he's obviously listed as a safety at Pitt, and he was listed as a safety throughout the draft process by all the media sites and the NFL's own website specifically. But when the Buccaneers turned the card in, they listed him as a defensive back. And that caught me as a little bit interesting because I'm kind of wondering, with the two cornerbacks being drafted and with Jordan Whitehead being listed as a DB instead of a safety specifically, what do you think the future holds for Ryan Smith? Are we going to see him get tested again at safety, or do you think the Bucs are happy keeping him at corner?
I think, you know, without any inside information, I would think they're still okay with him at corner, just because I think they've invested some time in him there. And I mean, he's kind of just got thrown into the fire last year. Mm-hmm. I had talked about this with Zach Sowers on our podcast a couple months ago. I think he has the ability, and he was thrown headfirst into the deep end last year. So I think they give him a little bit more time to try to develop. I don't know whether or not it's counterproductive to move him back to safety, but I think for the time being, he fits more as a corner, just with what I think the direction I think they're going in.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, for the record, I'm a fan of them keeping him a corner. I kind of thought he should have been a corner as a rookie. You know, they put him in safety. I think they felt like they needed a little bit more athleticism at the safety position, you know, which makes sense at the time. So putting him there, I think they realized that wasn't working out. So, you know, it's a little bit different than Ali Marpet. Like, Ali Marpet had a lot of success at guard, and then he was relatively successful at center. So moving him back to guard isn't so much of a step back as much of it is just continuing to you know, leverage his strengths. Whereas, I don't know, personally, I think Ryan Smith moving back to safety at this point would almost actually be a step back. So good insight there. All right. So Bailey, you and James kind of touched on in the beginning of your conversation about the three things to know about each of the draft pick series, which again, I echo. Was awesome work by you and just really great stuff for the second year in a row. But tell the listeners, you know, obviously we can't go through every single one, but give us a couple of things that from the draft prospects doing that series that you found that were really cool that stuck out in your mind.
Yeah, I'll go, I guess, in order of that they were picked. Starting with Vita Vea, I think just the fact that guy that size played running back in high school is ridiculous. I looked like some of his highlights, I mean, his high school highlights have a mix of him playing defensive line and running back, but that's ridiculous. That guy, I think, obviously he wasn't 347 pounds in high school, but Yeah, that still was he was still a big guy. I would guess he's probably the same height, and he looked like a legit defensive end, like an NFL defensive end running the ball. And he was fast, and he was running people over, and it was scary. I wouldn't want to try to tackle that guy. That's for sure.
I want to know real quick before you move on to the next one, if you can pronounce his full name.
Absolutely not. I was like really disappointed with myself because last year I got to be able to spell Stevie T's name like completely correct the whole time. And I kind of got to say it right, but no, there's no, I don't even want to try. Just cause I feel like it would be disrespectful because I would just butcher it too much.
Yeah, I mean, I had enough trouble trying to memorize Tui Koloatu. And then in my early writing days, I covered the Bucks and the Red Sox for a website, and I had enough trouble learning how to spell Saltalamacchia. I'm not even attempting this. I'm so glad he goes by Vita Vea, because there is no way. I know it was in your three things. What is it, 47 letters?
47 characters, I think. I don't know. On the NFL, on NFL Network's broadcast on the red carpet thing, they said 46, but I don't know if they counted the apostrophe in one of the names.
Gotcha.
And there's 20 syllables, so yeah, I can probably say about two of the syllables.
Well, I can say three, which would be Vita Vea.
That's true. I wasn't counting Vita. Just, well, I guess you can count Tavita. Tavita is okay. So I can go with that. Tavita Vea. That's it. I'm not going to give you any more.
I cannot wait until Dirt Cutter asks Riley Allman how to pronounce the name. Because if you remember last year, Cutter asked Riley during one of his press conferences to pronounce Stevie Tuikolovatu's name. And he did. So I'm very much looking forward to the video of Riley Allman pronouncing Vita Vea's name, because that'll be impressive. But anyway, Bailey, continue on with the three most interesting things that you learned from your Three Things to Know series.
Okay, so number two, we're going to Alex Kappa. And this was just really, really interesting to me, is that he's interested in improv and drama. That guy, he's very large, in case you haven't seen him, to any of the listeners. I'm sure you have. But that's a large man, and he's just long hair, beard. I don't know, just picturing him in a play on stage, like, I don't know what he would play. Like, that would be fun. I want to see that. But I guess he got into it in high school. And it's just, I went on to talk in here about just his persona off the field is not even close to what he does on the field. Because on the field, he'll just throw people around. He looks like a huge bully. But off the field, he's just a calm guy that loves improv. And when I think of improv, I always think of The Office. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, like, what kind of improv he's talking about. Because I just think of Michael Scott pulling his finger guns out on people. I feel like with Alex Kappa, it's not going to be like funny improv. I feel like he would just be really good at improv just on the spot in any kind of acting situation where it's like legitimate. So.
Yeah. Improv is not easy at all.
I just would never be able to do it, just because I don't think I could ever do that. Or I just couldn't even act in general. Just I would laugh too much.
Yeah, but you were the kind of person that drove me nuts when I did those kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, you used to do improv?
I did.
I think, okay, so I just had a brainstorm. Brent Allen, James Yarko, and Alex Kappa. That needs to happen.
Yeah, I did improv, and I did a couple of on-stage productions. Yep. Not musicals. I can't sing, but I did some acting. It was fun.
Do we have any videos of this?
I do, right. Actually.
You're going to need that on the site.
Yeah, I have somewhere. Video of two of them, which was actually the same play. I just played two different parts. So in one of them, I play like a 50-year-old guy, so I had to gray up my hair. That was fun.
I like that.
So, all right. And your final favorite of your Three Things to Know series, Mr. Adams.
I'm going over to Justin Watson, and just his numbers and records at Penn were outstanding. Like he has, I'll read through them right here. He has the program record for career receptions with 286, receiving yards 3,777, touchdown 33, 100-yard receiving games 19. And those 1,900-yard receiving games were an Ivy League record. And he has single-season records, too. You know, Ivy League records for consecutive games with a receiving touchdown at 10 and consecutive games with a reception, 40. So this guy, he's just – and I know the Bucks are already kind of saying, oh, this is our diamond in the rough, like our hidden gem. And I just really think it wouldn't be hard to see him breaking out and him actually being a productive member of this offense, just because – not only were those like the numbers really good, but just his measurables. He's 6'3", 225. Like comparing to Vincent Jackson, like this isn't just some small school guy that's like he was only successful because he played at a small school. You know, he had some, I think Big Ten and ACC schools ended up coming after him, and he was like, no, I'm just going to stick it out here at Penn, you know, for academics and also just because, you know, he was sticking to a commitment, which I love that. But yeah, just seeing his production at Penn was really exciting to me.
Yeah, Watson's he's an intriguing prospect. I didn't know anything about him, obviously, until the pick came across, and I kind of had the same reaction a lot of Bucks fans probably had. You know, I was kind of who, and I looked him up, and I was able to find that his 40 time would have put him right there in between DJ Moore and some of the other, and Calvin Ridley. You know, obviously not saying that he's going to have the same talent level as those two necessarily, especially his rookie season. But yeah, I mean, to be that tall and that long and have that kind of a kind of speed. And granted, that's hand time, you know, so it's just a little bit different, you know, so a little bit of a grain of salt to be taken with that. But no matter what, I mean, even on hand time, that's still moving pretty quick for a guy that size. So very intrigued to see what he can do, especially at rookie camp. I'm looking forward to seeing if there's any reports of him at Carlton Davis, because that's really going to be the biggest thing is, can he get off the line? Can he shake free of a defender and get some separation to take advantage of that length and that speed? So it'll be real fun to see.
Talked about your reaction. I think everyone's reaction, just who is this guy when they draft him. And I think some of us, at least I sent into our private group chat, I said, another receiver? Like, do we really need another receiver? And the more I thought about it, yeah, I mean, he can compete for that, likely that fifth spot, I guess, with Freddie Martino, Bobo Wilson, whoever mm-hmm. else ends up in camp. But yeah, after actually reading into him, he seems like a guy that, you know, I think there's some guys that are small school guys that are starting to just kind of surface and show up in the league, and you hear more and more about it. And I think he could be one of those guys.
Do you guys both think that he makes the initial 53-man roster, beating out Martino and Bobo? Obviously it's way too early to predict because we haven't seen anything from him, you know, on a Buccaneers practice field, but just kind of initial thought, you know, way too early snap judgment. Does what he did in college and the way he did it, do you think that translates to being the fifth receiver on the Bucs?
I'm just going to – it's a complete guess at this point, I guess, but I'll say yes, just because I think Bobo Wilson showed – well, Bobo Wilson and Freddie Martino showed some flashes last year, but I don't think the Bucs have too much invested into them. I just think – With Watson's track record and just his measurables and what I think he could bring, I think he makes it. I don't know. I'm not that confident in that pick, just because with late round picks, it's they can cut him. They'll cut him easily. You know, I could just be putting all this in my own head just to think, oh yeah, he's going to end up on the team. But I think yes, as of right now. But I don't know.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's way too early to predict. But hey, why not? I mean. I'm sitting here grading the draft, you know, immediately after it happens. And, you know, we're not going to know if it was a good draft or not until, you know, 3, maybe 4 years from now.
No, yeah, so, exactly. And
all of like this said, is without projections.
Yeah. And without getting into firm predictions or whatever, I mean, I'm going to lean on no, just because, you know, Bubba obviously showed he has the ability to at least hold his own on the NFL field. He had a catch and a touchdown and all that. And Freddie Martino has been doing it for a minute, so he's got a little bit of that experience and knowledge that Watson's not going to have coming into it. But, you know, it's not to say, I mean, do 6'3 and runs a 4.4. I mean, anything's possible. So,
a big thank you once again to Bailey Adams for joining us on the part 2 of our draft recap. We will have part 3 coming up for you tomorrow, which will round out the rest of our conversation about the draft class. In the meantime, make sure you're checking out everything that we're doing over at theputerplank.com, and make sure that you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at the Pewter Plank, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DH82_Bucks. Hope everyone has a wonderful, fabulous first day of May, and thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks. It's gonna be May.